You want to know a good way to stay stuck? Not staying close to their experience. Let's talk more about it.
Welcome to the Leading Edge in Emotionally Focused Therapy with your hosts, Dr. James Hawkins and Dr. Ryan Reyna. EFT is a dynamic model that humbles even the most seasoned therapists. Together, we want to come alongside you as you continually push the leading edge of your understanding and application of this wonderful model developed by Dr. Sue Johnson.
Hey, welcome back. You got to stay proximal to your client's experience. Simple enough, right? Not so simple. When one of the main mistakes that we make that gets us stuck, keeps us stuck as therapists, is when we get lost in the cycle, we bring interventions that are so disconnected from your client's experience, they can't take it in. And that's actually the good news. It gets worse when they can't take it in. They feel ashamed that they can't take it in. Or they're trying to take it in, but it's so approximate to their experience. It takes them months to evaluate this new information. They have to decide if they agree with it, and they have to find these new protocols. Next thing you know, bonding becomes like learning to speak German. It's too complicated. It's too complex. It's too personal. This is what happens when we don't work proximal to their experience.
Wow. That's good, man. And even as you said that story, I know I've talked about it on here before, but one of the greatest lessons I learned as a therapist actually came from a client. Go figure, right? You know, but it was in a George's tape when he had finished a pursuer softening, and he was just kind of checking out from the couple about how things landed. And the male withdrawer said, this was good, because we've been to some good therapists. You know, he gave that validation. But what happened for us was they kept trying to teach us to do things we were already bad at.
Right.
And that just kind of oh man, I want to get better at that, because I've been that therapist, by the way, who has taught the clients to do things that they were already bad at. So that's what we're going to get kind of focused here in a moment. We're going to talk about how do we stay proximal to experience. You want me to go ahead and go with the story from today?
Yeah.
All right. So with this couple, I knew they had a lot of problems staying close to their vulnerability. And so, you know, thankfully, as things would go, their therapist did a great job, handing the case over to me for a consult. And then I was able to really do a lot of work on alliance and building and getting focused and get clear. But every time you could just feel it over and over through the session, we didn't even count how many times it happened. Every time I got to where the gold was, the vulnerability was, they always had all these different moves to get me out, whether it was change the subject, tell me another story, a Deb's story, mm-hmm. right? They had all these different moves. And I appreciated Ryan's kind of supervision on it was, James, you did an excellent job staying proximal to the moment. Before, if I'm honest and I tell on myself, because Ryan had another case of mine that he consulted on, and it was every time I got close to it, they just keep throwing you something new and you grab it, mm-hmm. and then it takes you away. Whereas this time, thankfully, I was able to grow and learn. I was like, no. And even one time in the case, I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stay right here. So that was my proximal moment in a way.
It's good. It's not easy.
No, it's not.
It's not easy.
It feels uncomfortable even in our body.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, you're having to embrace that tension of, you know, how much rope do I have here with the alliance? You know, how much can I bend that, you know, trust with them? It's really hard. And, you know, I think psych ed fits into this. We're going to do an episode in a week or two here about the deceptive cycles, mm-hmm. and what it seems like is happening when the cycle's happening. So I don't want to steal too much for that episode, but it's the mark of when therapists get lost. Mm-hmm. I like George's quote. How does George know that that the cycle has him?
I forgot that one.
I think he says when he starts trying to convince them of the EFT process, that's his marker to know, uh-oh, I'm lost in the cycle. And by the way, when you step in that room, we are all vulnerable to get caught in the same cycle they get into.
That's a good self of the therapist question for the listeners to think about. So that's George's. How do you know when you've lost proximity? Mm-hmm. What's your tell sign? Mm-hmm. And that convinced one that resonated for me.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty congruent with a lot of people. What I see them do, what I have done at times, is like the cycle goes bad. I get disoriented. Moving towards them feels like I'm moving towards pain. Mm. And nobody wants to do that. You know, we train ourselves to do that. And I don't mind it if it's vulnerable pain, right? But if it's reactive pain, what happens is there's disorientation. The therapist loses their map. And so they go get an intervention that is on the West Coast when the clients are on the East Coast. And they pull out this form of psych ed, and it's so approximal to where they are that a series of bad things happen. And I'll give credit to Jim Furrow there. He talked about that one time at a training. He's like, what's the problem with psych ed or too much psych ed? It's approximal to their experience. It's so disconnected, and it's so far away from where they really are. It's just hard to use. It's demoralizing. It's confusing, and so forth. Is that the same thing as you're saying, or are you saying it's something a little bit different?
No, I think that is one. I do think we need to have a way that when we know we've done a hard job, and this is also being efficient with our time and energy and their time, that when we know, like even for us, if y'all listen to this, we talk about blocks. And the reframe for us is the block doesn't mean you need to go take a new direction. That could be a possibility, but also the block tells us this is the moment when the negative cycle takes over or mistrust takes over. So why move away? Remember, why our clients, for me, it's my clients, actually, when they show me that they're blocked and they try and get me to go away, they're showing me where I need to stay at, actually. Because this is the place where your cycle, where the relationship breaks down. I need to stay close to that. Because around that is where I get to see the terror that comes for them at home. I get to see the negative cycle that gets them at home. If I move away, then what am I looking at? I'm looking at a relationship that otherwise is usually okay. So I've got to have ways to stay there. And I like what we're saying with these interventions. I need to have interventions that help me stay right there with them. I need to have self of the therapist presence that helps me stay there with them. And I appreciate Ryan, by the way, and this is a moment, right? Ryan's the one that you helped me find that gift. Like, I didn't know about how to use me. But when you talked to me about that one session, like, James, when you take that deep breath, that's how I know the session changed. Mm-hmm. When your body picks up on it, that tells you you're at the right place. Mm-hmm. This is proximity. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. So I felt a deep breath in me. And I used that intentionally, explicitly. Shout out to Lisa Palmer Olson. She taught me, be transparent. If you're picking up on something in session, say it out loud, because it's probably what your client needs. So, hey, you guys. This hits my heart. I feel this moment. This is where I feel like this is where it gets stuck. This is where the cycle takes over. So what my body is telling me, this is where we need to camp out and do some work today. Is that okay? Can we do that right now? That's one way to stay proximal. Or in the session today, this shout out to George here. Ryan and I are not saying psych ed is altogether bad. Psych ed definitely can be a process where the psych ed, does it help us stay close to the experience? Because psych ed can give containment and good reasons why we stay. Or is the psych ed going to take us away from the experience and go somewhere else? So I don't know. This, once again, thank you for letting me give a frame on this is what I mean about being proximal to the place where we're stuck. So what we're going to do, though, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and get a little bit more clear and explicit about this place and how to change that. Do you believe in the mission of this podcast for you, for your colleagues, and for your clients? If you do, we'd like to invite you to invest with us.
Yeah, nothing happens without investment. Mm-hmm. I believe in the things that we're talking about make a difference in people's lives, like real lives that affect generations. So we'd love it if you'd invest with us. For sure, if you're having difficulties financially, please do not give. If you serve a very underserved population, do not give. But if the ideas from this podcast you use professionally, we'd love to invite you to invest with us to keep this thing going.
So thank yous. I want to say thank you, even as we are in this particular episode today. I want to thank you for being willing to do something that is socially awkward and uncomfortable. Because I think sometimes what happens while being with people in pain is something that is natural to the nervous system that we learn to get out of. What we've learned in society, though, is sometimes when people are in awkward spots, we learn to look away so that way we don't let them feel embarrassed or uncomfortable. So for us, as particularly EFT therapists or any form of experiential therapy, to say, hey, I want to stay here. I know this is hard. I know this is difficult. I appreciate you being willing to even listen to this podcast or to learn how to stay proximal, even in those places that may feel uncomfortable in your own body as a therapist.
Yeah, that's good. I want to say thank you for when you really cross cultures. Mm. And I mean that in every possible way. I heard about an EFT live one time where the where the clients were discussing something of excuse me, of a particularly religious nature. And the EFT trainer was not of that persuasion. And they did an amazing job of staying with a non-judgmental stance. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a controversial, very difficult area. When I first heard about it, I'm like, oh, man, that might have been hard. And they're like, no, this EFT therapist just stayed with. And finally they got it down below the line. And next thing you know, it was same whole EFT. But it'd be so easy, you know, into these controversial topics in this sort of politically hyped world we're in. And so I just appreciate when we go the extra mile with people who might see the world different than us. Thank you for that.
That's good. All right. So coming back, this staying proximal, kind of I've given my frame and orientation around it.
Yeah.
Are you talking, you kind of gave yours.
You know, an episode we should do sometime is EFT bloopers, meaning I've got an EFT wall of shame in my mind. Of when I did really bad work, you know, and hopefully not as much anymore. But, you know, I remember teaching EFT, especially 04 to 07 at a university level. And I don't mean teaching it a little bit. I taught it a lot, terribly. Mm. I just want to call those students and say, oh, my fault. And I remember the do it wrong sessions. This is probably 2009 or 10. For some reason, these jump out to me. And both of them were really similar. I was really in that first learning curve window with EFT and my own skill set, and I'm working with a withdrawer, and I'm finally finding that in the assembly in my presence I can really deepen, and two withdrawers just dropped six layers down, and that's this beautiful sharing of emotion. It's just what their pursuer partners have been wanting for so long. And I didn't get ready for the blocks. Mm. So I set up an enactment and the pursuer just lambasted them. And I lost proximity. So instead of like going right towards that block, moving it towards organization and containing it, I just had my first thought was, oh man, they're doing it wrong. They don't get it.
Yeah.
Right? And that's pretty common. You know, if you don't see those blocks coming, if you don't have an orientation there. So, you know, I think, over to psych ed, I want to make a couple of comments on that. I've had some people talking about it, some pushback at some training, which is, you know, good dialogue. I saw a person on an EFT site who said, you know, I do EFT, but I'm going to do a bunch of psych ed. Frankly, I think it's cruel not to. That was a really charged way to say that, and I respect that person's right to think about it that way. But, you know, I think psych ed that's orienting your clients through the process that makes it safer is really valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Some sense of here's where we're going and here's why.
Yep.
And small snippets is really good. Yep. You know, this is random, but I used to really, I like Chick-fil-A now, but when I was a little boy, I loved Chick-fil-A. You know why?
No.
Because they didn't exist except for in the mall.
Oh.
I'm a little boy and they were the only restaurant that put out samples. So they would just give you two or three little pieces of chicken. It tasted like heaven on a stick. And it was so good. And so that's a good thought about psych ed. We're handing out little samples about secure attachment. Little samples, a little bit of orientation, not so much big skills, teaching, that sort of thing.
And that's a good one to say skills. Like even I appreciate George and Lori do the power of sex and attachment training was phenomenal this last time. And what I love that they did, Lori Watson is so brilliant mm-hmm. with the amount of time and research she's done mm-hmm. into sex, the mechanics, the expression, and all the things. And now here she is, you know, becoming an EFT supervisor. I'm like, oh, this is not fair. We got to hold Lori back. No, I'm just mm-hmm. kidding. But she does a good job, and some of her nuggets around psych ed are so normalizing and validating for something that can be so scary and shameful around sex that are beautiful, and it helps contain and normalize why we got to do what we do. Sometimes I will use the quote when clients want to use away from emotion. I give the definition that I combine George and Ryan together. I'll say, hey, I really get the good reasons why your body kind of wants to shut down and go away, or why this is uncomfortable. But can I help make sense? Here's why I'm staying here. Because what I believe, emotion is just a signal from your body to get your attention, so you can put out a signal to get your partner to come towards you. And so I want to make some space for one. Can we understand that signal coming up in you? Can you even see it? And then what we need to do is to put out a signal to bring your partner towards you. Does that make sense? Okay, so here's what we're about to do. Nice. And then that's my setup for Tango Move 2.
Right, because the research clearly shows that the one predictor of the future of your relationship is, can you repair your bond, like at the heart level, after a time of distress, right? So if one of you can put out a clear signal and the other person can show up with comfort, man, you're bulletproof. So let's jump in and do it.
Did you just catch what Ryan did? That could be even one right there that I would use for Tango Move 3, because he set up, we got to be able to share that, right? So even those are little forms of psych ed.
But yours was 30 seconds, as was mine.
There you go.
So we're keeping it that sample size. We're giving people like, okay, here's why they're doing what they're doing. What we're not doing is sort of breaking down, and I don't want to step on anyone's toes, into teaching skills.
Yeah. Can I tell a funny joke real quick, Brad? It's not really a joke. When you said that, I pictured me. Have you ever seen that it's a CD out called Silk Sonic or something like that with Bruno Mars and another guy? It's like an R&B thing. Mm-mm. And they got on wigs, one of them has on he's bald and he wears a wig. Anyway, mm-hmm. I want to put out a CD with Ryan and James, our greatest hits. When I'm out traveling, people will say like what we just did, they'll be like, I need that language.
Okay.
So we're just going to make a CD catalog of James and Ryan's language. And you can play it as you ride down the street, put a little music behind it.
There you go.
And then you'll learn these EFT lines.
Anyway, I like it.
That was my quick little joke in my head.
I might be able to sing a little something too. I don't know.
If we put it on Apple Music, do you think we can compete with Drake for a Billboard's Top 100?
Anyway. We can try. All right. Where was I going?
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Where are we going? Oh, we just gave a little 30-second samples.
About skills, yeah. We're going to go to skills.
That's right. So, you know, lots of questions. Do you stop and teach speaker listener? Do you stop and tell people to use I statements? Do you stop and do communication skills? I'm like, first of all, it's your life. You're a professional. If that's what you want to do, do it. No judgment from me. They don't want to hear that, though. And by the way, I love what George says. He's like, look, you might do this and discover some new model. That's how models happen. So give it a shot. But then they push back, but do you ever do that? I'm like, I never do that. I have before, like 15 years ago. And that's what you usually find is it's less experienced folks. So why don't you do that is the next question. So I'm going to answer. So I'm not trying to argue with anybody. But here's my question. Do you ever work with depressed clients? Yes. Do you teach them how to smile? No. Everybody's like, no, I don't do that. Why not? Don't you want them to smile and be happier? Well, because they'd be faking it. I'm like, yeah, it's even worse than that, though. The reason I don't teach my depressed clients to smile is they would be faking it. I've not addressed what's hurt. And more importantly, let's pretend that I'm such a great smile teacher that they do it. My sense is it's going to cave in on them.
Yeah.
Because then they're going to be conscious of, I'm faking this, and now why am I have to fake this?
That's right.
But that's even with an individual. You throw a partner in who's faking it, and you think they can't read through that?
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing there is we're teaching people how to pretend like they have security when they, in fact, do not have it. And another caveat, if you go back to Gottman's research, before they really developed what people think of as Gottman now, the Gottman method, when it was John Gottman and the research, he actually found in his love lab healthy couples actually don't do that. They don't do that stuff. They don't flip into these sort of programmed exercises. It's mm-hmm. really focused on can they repair. So that's why I don't do that. All that to say, all those skill teaching pieces are really, really approximal to the experience. Mm. They're in your office because they're in pain. My pursuers absolutely blew up my withdrawers in that story 3 minutes ago because they were in pain. It wasn't because they lacked skill. For me to stop and say, hang on a minute, stay on your side of the street, use your I statements here, use your coping skills. I mean, at some point, they might do some things like that, but my job is to go get next to them, contain the damage, get curious, unpack the reasons that they, you know, blocked or blew up their withdrawer, and then see if I can reset this thing to keep us on track. That's what they're paying me for, right? So I want to affect their skills, not teach them to fake the skills.
I agree.
Because it's approximal.
And so that's the part where EFT, we do skills too, yep. but our orientation is a little bit different. It's for us, we don't teach skill by us by didactic teaching. We teach it in real-time practice with attachment experience yep. loaded is how we do is right. how we do skills.
Yeah, depends on how you define the word skills, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I appreciate this. And the whole heart of this is, for those of you listening, is really not to get into a kind of clinical or semantic debate. But it's really, it's saying, hey, get in there in the place of your client's distress. And even when it rebuffs you a little bit, stay proximal. And you can use psych ed, but the goal of the psych ed is to stay proximal, to contain, to normalize, and give good reasons for why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we also on here, we didn't teach it, because if you've listened to this podcast, you get it now. That's why we teach our work with blocks, whether it's CPR or whatever other type thing. That's just our way to say, hey, I get the good reasons. I see what's happening, what brilliant timing and strategy, but I need to stay right here. It's just a way to stay proximal to that place because this is where we can create change.
Yep. And the most proximal thing that can probably happen is a live experience or a live emotion happening right in front of you. That's embodied,
mm-hmm.
that you capture,
mm-hmm.
and you use yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you move into that resonant space. I mean, that is therapeutic gold. It doesn't get any better than that. But I will say this, a close second is affect assembly.
That's right.
And I've underrated that my entire career because it does have a cognitive layer, and it does have, sometimes I feel like I'm having to bring it in sort of out of the blue if I don't have a live trigger. But that still is very proximal to their experience because if your clients are stuck in a cycle, they live right next to their trigger.
Mm.
That's the thing they can't get rid of. They are paying you to get rid of their triggers, which is their partner's protection move. So a really good assembly is very proximal, which is why when it's done well, with full use of self with a therapist, that's why you find emotion often comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
I got a training I'm doing coming up in Miami later this in 2024, November. And they sent me the advertisement and it has a quote from this podcast. I'm like, I didn't know I said that, but I like it. And that's basically my live demonstration sessions got a lot better when I stopped pressing for emotion and just stayed next to it.
Yeah.
And using the assembly, and then it would come to me.
Yeah.
So that's this discussion about being more proximal, because I'll tell you this, this is a little different angle. If I'm out in front of someone and I'm driving into their emotion, people think that's EFT. I'm just a misattuned therapist. And I've been that way many times.
Yeah.
And by the way, being misattuned is not a problem unless you stay misattuned. All right, so taking the feedback and making the adjustment.
That was another nice quote.
That's a George quote, or that's how I know it at least. But yeah, if you're just trying to go deeper, that's also approximal. That's not where I am.
Mm.
I can't really come with you.
That's right. That's a good one. And my move to stay proximal over and over, and anyone that's seen my work recently, is I keep using reflective summaries over and over. Every time something shifts, whoa, can I just slow down? Wow, I saw you just take that nice slow blink right there, and your head nod was fast, and it gets slower. Woo, can I just check even in that head nod what it's in? And then they'll give me an answer. And I just keep doing that over and over. And even if they go away from it. So I just got to bring it back, y'all. Because the last thing I just saw was this just happening. And that touched me. So can, and I just keep doing that over and over and over until it's very salient and alive in the room. Then it's like, all right, let's pass it in enactment.
That's good, man. That's EFT.
Yeah.
And that's what Sue and the founders would say. More reflection, way more reflection.
I like that, the founders.
The founders, yeah. I mean, if you increase your reflection times 6 or 7 and you increase your validation by 4 or 5, watch what happens in your session.
Yeah, I found that to be true.
Yep, it's true.
So, by the way, that was another good nugget. And that's how you can stay proximal.
And all of that's very proximal. That's
exactly. Right. Validation. Right. Hey, I just really appreciate what you're doing. This is such hard work.
Yes.
But look at how you're sticking with it. So can I stay here?
It's so tempting, though, when someone says something of an attachment evocative nature to want to go solve it, to want to go to the next thing. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's actually counterintuitive to stay there and reflect what just happened, even using their images or their words. And then take the time to validate it. Like, that is counterintuitive. That's why we train.
And another one I want us to, that you gave, came back and quoted from Debbie Semeca Diaz, a trainer in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Say what's in, it's really saying what's in front of you. Mm-hmm. Keep highlighting. If you want to stay proximal, oh, wow, I see how you take that glance over at your partner as you talk about this part of you. I see how your eyes look. And I really appreciate that because this is something you want to know. Maybe if they're hearing it, how are they taking it in? Is it scary to say? Like, wow, look at this place. So anyway, y'all. Yeah.
Stay proximal.
Stay proximal.
Thank you for listening. We hope this experience helps you push the leading edge in your work to help people connect with themselves and with each other. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. You can contact us at pushtheleadingedge@gmail.com, and you can follow us on our Facebook page at Push the Leading Edge. You can follow Ryan on Facebook at Ryan Reyna Professional Training and on his website ryanreynatraining.com. You can follow James on Facebook and Instagram at DocHawkLPC. You can also check out his website, DocHawkLPC.com.